There's been no lack of partisanship at the Republican National Convention this week in New York City. Last night, keynote speaker Senator Zell Miller and Vice President Dick Cheney delivered blistering attacks on Democratic nominee John Kerry. Their focus was on leadership, defense, and national security. Thus far, there's been relatively little mention of issues like the proposed constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, of determination to roll back Roe v. Wade, or of Christian values. Speakers have praised the president's tax cuts without the traditional Republican calls for smaller government and balanced budgets. On the final day of the Democratic convention, we spoke with dissenting delegates in Boston and asked if the party was taking them and their votes for granted. Today we'll hear from Republican delegates with different perspectives to ask if they've heard their party address the issues that are important to them. Pennsylvania Congressman Pat Toomey, a fiscal and social conservative, and Delaware Congressman Mike Castle, a member of the moderate Main Street Republicans. We'll also speak with Representative Rob Portman, the Ohio communications chair for the Bush campaign. We also want to hear from the Republicans and swing voters in our audience. Has the convention addressed your issues this week in New York, or do you feel they've fallen silent on core principles? What do the Republicans need more, an energized base or an appeal to swing voters? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and our email address is TOTN@npr.org. Later in the program, what's different now that charges against basketball star Kobe Bryant have shifted from criminal to civil court? Is his accuser still protected by Colorado's rape shield law? But now we turn to NPR political editor Ken Rudin in New York. As always, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Another extraordinary speech in prime time last night, the keynote zinger from Democratic Senator Zell Miller of Georgia.
20 years of votes can tell you much more about a man than 20 weeks of campaign rhetoric. Campaign talk tells people who you want them to think you are. How you vote tells people who you really are deep inside. Senator Kerry has made it clear that he would use military force only if approved by the United Nations. Kerry would let Paris decide when America needs defending. I want Bush to decide. John Kerry, who says he doesn't like outsourcing, wants to outsource our national security. That's the most dangerous outsourcing of all. This politician wants to be leader of the free world. Free for how long?
Zell Miller speaking last night, the keynote address at the Republican National Convention in New York. Ken Rudin, a tremendous response to the speech there in the convention hall last night. What's the buzz today?
You know, I sat there, Neil, watching this speech with my jaw dropped because, you know, you opened up your program today by saying this is a lot of partisanship. Well, this is a political, national political convention. If there's not partisanship there, I don't know where you'll find it. But having said that, I thought that Zell Miller, I mean, it was breathtaking to watch how angry this man was and how, remember, we always talk about this, 12 years ago, he was here in the same building talking about the Bill Clinton and talking about the evils of the first President Bush, but it was just amazing. And I got a lot of mixed reaction. A lot of people felt that this is the red meat that they came to hear, that they really like what he said, that it's about time somebody gave the true story about John Kerry. And there's somebody else who said, well, listen, if our goal is to reach out to swing voters, to independent voters, certainly blasting Democrats as, as traitors, he didn't say that word, but it's hanging pretty close, it may not be the way to do it.
Well, in his speech, Vice President Dick Cheney, as he accepted the party's nomination to be vice president, he basically said that John Kerry was not fit to command.
Senator Kerry denounces American action when other countries don't approve, as if the whole object of our foreign policy were to please a few persistent critics. But in fact, the global war on terror, as in Afghanistan and Iraq, President Bush has brought many allies to our side. But as the president has made very clear, there is a difference between leading a coalition of many nations and submitting to the objections of a few. George W. Bush will never seek a permission slip to defend the American people.
And again, Ken, focus on that same issue, John Kerry's qualifications to lead a nation in time of war.
Right, exactly. And basically what the Republican line is here is that, you know, we'll give John Kerry his 4 months in Vietnam. It's commendable service. He deserves the medals. But what he did when he came back is open to debate and open to criticism. And that's what they're going after. And, you know, it's not unusual to hear that at a Republican convention going back to 1952 and 56, Vice President Richard Nixon, or Richard Nixon was not Vice President in 52, but he was the running mate for the Republican side, talked about Adlai Stevenson being soft on communism. Spiro Agnew called Hubert Humphrey soft on communism. Fighting Democrats, hitting Democrats on the defense issue has always been a Republican tactic, and it was never more so than last night.
Well, tonight, of course, we see President Bush come out to accept his party's nomination. This is the main event, as they say. Is he expected to be more like last night or more like the earlier part of the convention when we were hearing speeches by the likes of John McCain and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, I expect you'll hear both because George Bush on the campaign stump relishes responding to Kerry and Edwards and the Democratic critics. But I don't know what else there is to say about John Kerry. I think you heard more in Zell Miller and Vice President Cheney last night than you need to in 4 days of convention. And, you know, again, I don't know, you know, in a perfect world, George Bush would try to rally the country behind him in a post-9/11 atmosphere. But again, it was just so blistering last night that that George Bush's task is going to be pretty difficult given the rhetoric we heard from Miller and Cheney.
And we should not, though we're in radio, ignore a piece of stagecraft that those of you who will be watching this on television tonight will see. The president is going to be speaking from a platform set up in the middle of Madison Square Garden, not from the conventional lectern in front of the crowd, but on a platform amidst the crowd.
That's right. They got everybody off the floor last night at 11:30. That it was a more of a truncated convention look for the first 3 days, and they were opening up to a revolving stage, and it'll look far different. And obviously, the president is hoping to speak to a far broader audience than the speakers of the last few days.
And I think typically the addresses by the candidates, either the incumbent president or John Kerry when he accepted, these are the speeches that most people watch during a convention.
They do, and you know, and everybody will be watching this, but again, people have seen George Bush in action for the past 4 years. It's not that they don't know what to expect. It's not that they don't know who this man is. He has a much tougher task than John Kerry did last month in Boston, because he not only has to defend what he did in the past 4 years, defend the course of the nation in the past 4 years, but convince enough voters that the next 4 years he should be put in charge again for the next four.
Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor. He joined us from New York City, NPR's convention headquarters there. Ken, as always, thank you very much.
Neil, thank you.
Ken Rudin, also the author of the Political Junkie column, which you can read at npr.org. And joining us now from Madison Square Garden in New York is Ohio Congressman Rob Portman. He's the Ohio Communications Chair for the Bush-Cheney campaign. And good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Neil, great to be back with you. Last time we spoke, I was from Columbus, Ohio, and now I'm here at Madison Square Garden.
Well, everybody moving up in the world, I guess.
all of the Ohioans are here, it seems. We've got a big delegation.
Well, I wanted to ask you, one of the issues clearly that's going to be very important in your state of Ohio is the economy. Do you expect President Bush to be talking about that tonight?
Absolutely. I think he'll talk about the record, as Ken just said, and what's happened over the last 3.5 years, the tough decisions he's had to make, and how he's moved the country forward with regard to the war against terror, but also the economy. And then he'll lay out the agenda for the next 4 years. And I'm really looking forward to it, because it'll be an opportunity for us to respond to what we've been hearing out there from the Democrats on health care, on jobs in the economy, on the environment, on education, on the litigation reforms that are needed. On trade, so it's going to be a broad-based speech that will address, again, a hopeful, optimistic vision for the future over the next 4 years.
And I wanted to ask you, we're asking various constituents of the Republican Party about their reaction to the presentation at the convention this week. We saw a lot of moderates there giving speeches, but moderates talking about, for the most part, national defense, not talking about issues like pro-choice, which, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger is, and tonight's man, George Pataki, the governor of New York, who will be addressing the convention and introducing the president, is pro-choice. Rudy Giuliani is pro-choice.
Well, I think it shows the breadth of the party. I do think if you listen to Arnold Schwarzenegger's speech, at least what I got out of it was really the opportunity society. In other words, talking about America as a country that provides people the ability to dream big and then to achieve those dreams. And that certainly gets into the economic issues and jobs and what the president is trying to lay out, which is how to create an environment for opportunity and for job growth. And Arnold also talked about some of the international issues, but the main focus of his talk and, mm-hmm. and many of the other speakers has been, you know, how to continue this really unique American approach to our economy, entrepreneurship, innovation, enabling people who start with nothing to be able to achieve something, as he did. I think the president will pick up on that tonight.
But some moderates say, hey, nice to see those people delivering speeches, but where are their policies in the party platform?
Well, the platform is also pretty broad. It's interesting. This is my fifth convention, I guess. I'm becoming a veteran now, but and I was a delegate for the first one and then a member of Congress since. But liberals and conservatives alike in our party across the spectrum seem to like this platform because there's something in it for everyone. The party is more unified than I've seen it, certainly in these last four conventions where I've attended. I remember being at the convention in 88 and having a note slipped under my door as a delegate saying, gee, if you vote for this candidate or this other candidate for vice president, the rest of us will walk out. We were really more divided then. Today we are much more unified, and I think that's reflected in the platform and the way in which moderates in the party, more liberal members of our party, and more conservative members of our party have rallied around it.
Okay, let's get a listener on the line. If you'd like to join the conversation, by the way, our number is 800-989-8255. The email address is totn@npr.org. And John joins us from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, John.
I wanted to just mention that in the past, I'm a Republican, I voted for Bush the last election, but in the past I did vote for Pearl once, and I thought that during that election there was more coverage about our debt, the debt that the country's carrying.
The deficit, yeah.
And I just wondered why there hasn't been more conversation about that from the Republicans, about what's their plan about paying off the deficit.
It's a good question, John, and I think you will hear more about that tonight. If you look at the two campaigns, they're really very different approaches in terms of the fiscal situation. John Kerry has proposed a lot of new spending. I saw the American Enterprise Institute analysis, which says it's about $2 trillion of new spending over and above what's currently planned. He's also called for tax increases, as you know, to cover part of that. If you increase taxes for those over a certain income, you will, of course, bring in a lot of small business people who pay taxes through the individual rate. But even if you do that, you don't cover that full $2 trillion. You maybe cover, I'm told, $600 million of that. So that would leave us more in a hole. He has said, on the other hand, that he believes that we ought to be able to balance the budget over time, and he says we could cut it in half in 5 years. But I'm not sure how you do that without raising taxes further or borrowing more and therefore putting us further into deficit. The president, on the other hand, has laid out what I believe is a sound fiscal policy, saying, you know, he wants to reduce the deficit. It is important. We're on track to do that. As you know, this year the deficit will be about $50 billion less than it was projected, and next year probably, they're saying, about $70 or $80 billion less because the economy's growing. So we'll talk about growth in the economy, but also keeping spending under control. The proof's in the pudding, though, isn't it? I mean, this year's budget, the president has said to Congress, spending ought to be basically flat in all categories except for those necessary to combat terrorism, homeland security, and defense. If we can hold to that in Congress, and if the president uses his veto effectively, I think that'll set the stage for the next 4 years to get back to not just better fiscal balance, but actually get into surpluses again over time.
John, thanks very much for the call, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more with Representative Rob Portman at his backup band there at the Madison Square Garden. Were they rehearsing for tonight, Congressman?
They are, and I apologize for that.
Maybe if they could just keep it down for a couple of minutes. Anyway, we'll be back after,
hard to hear too.
After a short break.
Thanks, Neil.
800-989-8255, totn@npr.org. This is NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about big tent politics in the Republican Party. If you're a Republican, have you heard your issues, the ones you care about, the ones that may decide how you vote, addressed at the convention this week in New York City? Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, totn@npr.org. And again, this is a day for our Republican listeners. We're talking right now with Congressman Rob Portman. He's the Ohio Communications communications chair for the Bush campaign, and he's got to leave us shortly, but I hope you can take one more call with us.
You bet.
Let's talk now with Rita. Rita's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi.
Hi, Rita.
How are you?
Great.
The only thing that I really wanted to mention was, you know, I'm going to vote for George Bush. I think that he is the best leader for our nation. But I'd like to hear him address more the issues of what is going to happen in these next 4 years, primarily with the economy. I think that if he wants to appeal to the swing voters, people who have not made decisions yet, that these are issues that need to be addressed.
Reid, I think that's a very fair question, and I think the president has decided to wait until this venue to lay out the agenda for the next 4 years. Typically, that's what's done. This year, the election started a little sooner, as Neil knows, because he's been covering it for the past year.
Yep.
But I think you'll see it tonight. I think you'll be very happy with what he talks about. My understanding is the speech is very balanced, talks about foreign policy and the war on terror, but also talks a lot about enduring prosperity. In other words, keeping the economic recovery going. We have added about 1.5 million jobs in the last year. We have begun to see some real economic growth, the fastest growth, in fact, in 20 years. But we got to keep it going. And he's going to talk about the need to keep the tax relief in place, but also he's going to talk about the need to keep health care costs down and keep litigation costs down and trade and education and energy, all the things
yeah.
that relate to having a competitive global environment. And I do think it's going to be a speech that, you know, we'll address those concerns for you.
Right, and I think that would be wonderful. Of course, along with the economy, yeah, the health care issues are big. They're huge. And,
they are.
You know, we were a family that my husband's in education. He's an assistant principal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't get benefits offered to his family. So it costs us a pretty penny just to be able to afford to pay on a monthly basis for our health care. And, you know, we have a high deductible at that just to be able to afford those monthly payments. So that is a big issue.
I believe he will address that. As you know, he talks a lot about patient-centered care and the fact that we need more competition in the system so that people like you can go out, not in the individual market, but be able to go in with other people. He talks about pooling. He talks about these association health care plans for small businesses to enable people to be able to get health care that's affordable and make sure people have access to health care. One of the concerns that I have with John Kerry's plan for health care is that it is expensive, and it really shifts the costs, in this case to the taxpayers, without getting at some of the cost drivers. So the president's also going to talk about how to reduce some of the costs, including the costs of premiums and defensive medicine, by reducing the costs of lawsuits and litigation in our health care system. So he'll talk about the need to give people more of their own money to be able to pay for health care, give patients more choices. He'll talk about refundable tax credits for those people who are currently uninsured and health savings accounts, but also about how to reduce some of the costs of health care. And I think that's a message we need to get out there. And frankly, as a country, we need to deal with that if we're going to continue to not just have health care, but be competitive globally.
Rita, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Congressman Portman, I know you have to go up. What are they calling for the rhythm guitarist there up on
yeah.
stage?
I've got to go up and get my tambourine out.
Rob Portman, thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
Rob
Always
Portman.
Enjoy being on with you.
Thank you.
Take
Rob
care.
Portman is communications chair for the Bush-Cheney campaign in Ohio, and he was with us from the floor there at the convention in Madison Square Garden. The music you heard behind him was rehearsal for later tonight. On the line now from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is Pennsylvania Congressman Pat Toomey. He returned home recently from the Republican convention in New York, and thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be on.
Earlier this year, you ran a campaign in the Republican primary against the moderate Republican senator from your state, Arlen Specter. Did pretty well against him, too. Why was it important for you to join that race for a seat that your party already occupied?
Well, I think it's just very important that we as a party govern according to a set of principles and values that are really at the core of what our party is all about: limited government and personal freedom, strong defense, traditional values, a set of values that I think bring most Republicans to our party. Senator Specter and I have some very significant differences of opinion on a variety of these issues. And, you know, Republicans are in control of the government now. And so I think now more than ever, it's important that we have this kind of discussion in our primaries to decide which direction should our party take now that we control the levers of government.
Have you heard those issues, those principles, reinforced in your party's platform and from the lectern at the convention?
Yeah, absolutely. The party platform, I think, does reflect the mainstream of the Republican Party, which is, this is the center-right party in America. It is a conservative party. It's a party that believes in limited government and the free enterprise system and empowering individuals and opportunity through freedom. And I think that's reflected not only in the platform, but I think we have heard the speakers that have been speaking at the convention address this. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think, did a great job talking about how the Republican vision for America is a vision for opportunity for everyone, including a skinny boy from Austria, as he describes himself, and an immigrant to this country. So I feel good about the way the platform came together and the way the convention has been proceeding.
Governor Schwarzenegger did talk a lot about economic opportunity and immigrants. Would you have preferred that an opportunity would have also been provided for someone to address the issue of abortion rights?
It's in the platform. I'm pro-life. The majority of Republicans are pro-life. We all know this is a divisive issue. We all know where the president stands on this. I think that it's appropriate that it be in the platform as it is. But it doesn't bother me particularly that it's not, the first topic of conversation from the podium. There are so many issues. That's a very, very important one, but there are many other important ones as well.
Well, one of the ones I know you think is important is on fiscal issues. You opposed, I think, the drug benefits for Medicare, the first entitlement of its type created in quite some time by any president.
Well, that's right. My view is that the final product that we had to vote on, the conference report that that ultimately became law, was a tough call because it was a very dramatic expansion of this program. It is a very large new entitlement, and it contained some important reforms. It was my hope that we could more profoundly reform Medicare in the process, and I was prepared to support, as I did support, the House passed version of the prescription drug bill, which would have really remade Medicare in a fashion that would make it much more responsive to patients, to consumers, to senior citizens. I think that in the end, the plan did not achieve as much as I had hoped it would, and that's why I voted against it. But as I said, it was a judgment call.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Kurt. Kurt's with us from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I was wondering, why hasn't the Republican Party talked much about stem cell research yet? I think it's one of the major issues, and Laura Bush has talked about it several times, and President Bush said something recently on CNN, but I haven't heard anything solid from the Republican Party.
Well, again, I think that the president's been very clear about his position on this. The president, took an initiative, announced it. It is now the law of the land. The president has supported the federal government funding stem cell research, including embryonic stem cell research, provided, however, that that not involve the destruction of embryos from the time of his decision. So there's an enormous amount of embryonic stem cell research going on in the private sector. The federal government is funding that which no longer involves destroying embryos, but the president doesn't think we should destroy human life for the purpose of research or other purposes. I agree with that view. I don't think we ought to be destroying human life for any purposes. And I think, in fact, the real promise in terms of medical research, in terms of curing diseases, has clearly been much more on the side of adult stem cells. And the Republicans have been huge supporters of research and federal-funded research on adult stem cells. These are, in fact, the stem cells that have yielded therapeutic benefits already, have enormous promise, and we're going to continue. We doubled funding for the NIH in 5 years. We did that under Republican leadership, under Republican control of Congress, because we recognize that research in healthcare is extremely important, and I think that needs to include adult stem cell research. I personally don't think it should include the destruction of human life.
As you know, of course, Nancy Reagan, the widow of former President Ronald Reagan, disagrees with you on this issue. Their son, Ron Reagan, spoke at the Democratic Convention on this issue.
That's right. And Republicans are not of one mind on this. There's no question there's a division within the party on this, and I can understand that. There are good people on both sides of this issue, and we're going to continue to wrestle with this, I suspect, for some time. But I do think it's important that everyone understand all Republicans that I know fully support adult stem cell research and, in fact, support federal funding of it. And that's where the vast majority of cures are coming from.
Kurt, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And let's get another caller on the line. This is Mary. Mary's calling from Chicago.
Oh, Neil, hi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was just telling the young lady that answered the phone that I think I'm considering myself more an Arnold Schwarzenegger Republican. I'm here in Chicago, and it's a pretty lonely place to be a Republican. And last night when I heard Zell Miller talk, I really got a little concerned because I'm thinking, how much are we being influenced by the Christian right? Nobody's talking about that.
Representative?
I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing that. What was it that no one's talking about?
The Christian right was Mary's point.
I'm not sure what exactly point Mary's trying to make about the Christian right, that there are, you know, Christian conservatives who have been a part of the conservative movement for years. It can, you know, that continues to be the case. You know, that is one part of the Republican coalition.
Mary, what's your particular concern?
My particular concern is after hearing this Democrat from Georgia, who I was really interested in hearing what he had to say, made me think that he's not a Democrat from Georgia. He's a Christian right fanatic, and how much influence is that having in the Republican Party that's not being addressed? Because I see our party going that way, not Republican.
Give Representative Toomey a chance to respond. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm not sure what to say. I mean, Zell Miller may very well be a Christian. That doesn't make him a radical or an extremist, obviously. He is a former governor. He's an elected Democrat. I'm not sure what that has to do with the fact that he may be a believing Christian.
Mary, are you planning to vote for President Bush in this upcoming election?
Well, I was till last night. Now I'm really rethinking it. I'm very worried. I think there's too much influence by the Christian right.
Okay, Mary, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Neil.
And Pat Toomey, I wanted to thank you very much for your time today. We know you just came back from the convention. We appreciate you giving us a call there from Harrisburg.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay. Pat Toomey, a Republican congressman from Pennsylvania. And Congressman Mike Castle joins us now on the phone from Wilmington, Delaware. He's the president of the Republican Main Street Partnership, a group that advocates for moderate issues in the Grand Old Party. And thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And you also just returned from the convention in New York.
I'm in Wilmington right now.
Yes, I know. We've heard from some moderate speakers in the past few days. Few of the issues on which they are particularly moderate are reflected in the party's platform. How well does the party leadership reflect the views of moderate Republicans today?
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by leadership. I mean, when you look at the speakers at the convention, obviously the moderates were well-placed. In fact, if you take the most popular Republicans in this country, you're going to find that almost every one of them is a moderate, with the exception of the president and the vice president. The platform itself is more conservative than I think the speakers that we heard, but I think overall there was a balance. It was a very interesting convention. I've been to, I guess, five or six of these now, and of all the ones I've been to, I thought this was the most interesting grouping of speakers, and I thought brought the party together, and actually, for the first time in really months, is given some real momentum, I think, to President Bush and to Cheney and their campaign. They've had a lot of difficulty, setbacks, Iraq, things like that, but there seems to be some real movement now and some feel out there. So I think both moderates and conservatives felt pretty good about this when it was all said and done. Hopefully tonight will be the icing on the cake if the president does well.
The early in the program, we played a clip of tape from Senator Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island, Republican, who said, you know, it was nice to see the moderates there speaking. If you're going to put us in prime time, how about putting some of our issues in the party platform?
Well, I would like to see that, too, except that I don't know too many people who pay any attention to party platforms. I wrote a letter to the party platform about embryonic stem cell research, while stem cell research hasn't produced anything quite yet, the belief of practically all scientists in this country is that embryonic stem cell research is really where the future is, and that was disregarded. I'm concerned, for example, that we're not going to do anything about the assault weapon ban, which expires on September 14th of this year after 10 years of being in effect in this country. And that's, of course, not addressed in either party's platform, because both parties are trying to avoid this issue because of the gun issue being so volatile in a presidential year. So in my mind, we're just not focusing on national issues at the cutting edge of what we have to do, which concerns me a great deal. I haven't read the entire Republican platform, read excerpts from it, and a lot of it just addresses terrorism and security and issues like that, which is fine. But I tend to agree with Link Chafee. I think that they omit some of the issues of concern to some of the rest of us who are pushing to make the party a bigger tent party.
We're talking with Representative Mike Castle, a Republican congressman from Delaware. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And you just ticked off any number of issues, Congressman. Abortion, gay marriages, civil unions, stem cells. Are any of those, or are those collectively, enough of a disagreement to raise your support, the questions about your support for the Republican nominee? As you know, with some groups in the Republican Party, the log cabin Republicans, they are.
Well, they're not for me, and let me tell you why. I worked with President Bush on No Child Left Behind, and that's a controversial plan for education. The National Education Association has lobbied against it, has put together a group to even fight it now. But it is, in my mind, the greatest single challenge we've had to education. And some very good Democrats, George Miller from California, Liberal Democrat, for example, who are very supportive even today of all that does, because it is the one chance we really have to say that we need to educate our children better. And I think a lot of people see that, so I believe in that. And a lot of people pick on the Medicare drug bill and say, gee, this is just a lot of money, it doesn't do any good. Well, it does do some good if people would pay attention to it. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. It's perfectly optional. So that's also a good plan in terms of what this president has done. He has also done quite a bit with home ownership, which people overlook as well. So there are a lot of things that I like. And the bottom line is that maybe some people feel that if you're in a political party, everything is going to be done in unanimity, and that's the way it is. But the bottom line is that it's not that way at all. There are issues in which you're going to agree and disagree. And if you basically believe in the leader you have in terms of major issues such as security and what we're doing with that, such as economic practices and most of the social practices, then that's fine. You could still disagree, as I do on many instances, and when you do disagree, you try to get it changed. So that's really my judgment of what it's all about, and I don't see any weakening of the Republican resolve to reelect this president just because we do disagree on some issues.
We'll be back with more with Republican Representative Mike Castle after a short break. If you're a Republican, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Today we're talking about big tent politics in the Republican Party. Our guest is Representative Mike Castle, president of the Republican Main Street Partnership, a group focused on moderate policy making. If you'd like to join our conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Congressman Castle's with us from Wilmington, Delaware. He was at the convention in New York earlier this week, and let's get a caller on the line. Laura's with us from Detroit, Michigan.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Mr. Castle just really spoke to the reason I called in, which was I'm really pleased with so much that I've heard the Republicans talk about and promise to really make happen if they're reelected the next 4 years. But with the constitutional amendment and banning gay marriage, I cannot in good conscience vote this gentleman back in office. Mr. Castle spoke to the bigger issues being the reason for choosing a party, and although I do believe that President Bush may have the stronger hand as far as national security, I am very passionate about this issue. I don't believe that he should pick and choose what he decides he's going to legislate, and I don't believe that it is a federal issue. I believe it's a state issue. But nobody seems to have talked about that at the convention.
Congressman Castle?
Well, it's correct. In many ways, what the caller stated is very correct. It's not been spoken to at the convention. The president has been sort of a reluctant warrior in this. He has sort of half-heartedly endorsed a ban on same-sex marriage, but has certainly not fought for it very hard or really gotten too deeply into it. I tend to agree with the caller. I think it's a state issue, and we can decide at the state level, where we've always decided about marriage anyhow, about what people should do one way or another. We probably are going to vote on it, though, at least in the House of Representatives, before we go out of session, probably sometime at the end of September. And it'll be a constitutional amendment, and it will be a very difficult vote. And you're going to get into the federal-state issue. Ironically, some of the conservatives are going to vote probably against it on the basis that it is not a federal issue. So the point that she makes could end up being a winning point before this is all said and done. The president just doesn't seem all that engaged in this particular issue. And I think a lot of people would prefer to see it handled at the state level. But there are those who are going to push it, so it probably will get put on in the House as a federal issue.
But, Laura, a make-or-break issue for you.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Okay, thank you very much for the call.
Sure.
Let's see if we get one more caller in, and this is Peter, who's with us from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay.
One of my questions and concerns is, I was a National Guard soldier that was mobilized during Operation Noble Eagle. I was injured during that time, and I've been fighting and fighting and fighting to get my veterans benefits to help pay for those injuries and as I come back. And I've not heard any mention from either party as to where they stand on veterans benefits and making sure that our soldiers and sailors and airmen are not still having to qualify for welfare.
Peter, I think with respect, both candidates addressed those issues when they spoke to the American Legion Convention just recently, Congressman Castle, am I correct on that?
Well, you're correct on that. And also, Peter, the Congress has actually enacted a number of laws and appropriation bills in recent years that have increased and enhanced both the pay for members of the military, for retiree pay, for veterans benefits to a tremendous degree. If you are having a problem, my advice always when you're dealing with the matters of veterans is to get a hold of your congressional office. They have somebody who's assigned in their office to help you with that and help you through it. But actually, we're very proud of the record of increases. This whole business of food stamps, et cetera, has been eliminated because of the Congress actually stepping up to the plate. We haven't always done that, but in this case, we did.
Peter, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Congressman Castle, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Delaware Representative Mike Castle, president of the Republican Main Street Partnership. He joined us by phone from Wilmington in Delaware.